This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to another episode of the No Ceilings Podcast. I'm Tyler Metcalf, joined as always by Tyler Rucker. Rucker, how are we doing?
Metcalf, we're doing fantastic. We're gonna be on special alert today, folks, because I don't know, you know, what I'm gonna say. We've been working on a lot of projects at No Ceilings this week. To say that I haven't slept well would be an understatement. The coffee intake has been at an all-time high this week. People are worried. My fiance's worried. My dog's worried. Metcalf's worried. But the show must go on, in the words of Queen, and I'm feeling ready to rock, Mr. Metcalf. How are we doing? Are you in the same atmosphere as me? Is it just been a long week, or what's going on?
It's been a long month, but...
Ooh. It's only going to get longer.
No, but it's good. It's good because, you know, I would much rather be too busy than not have enough to do. And, you know, it's kind of hard to complain when we get to do stuff like this. We just get to talk hoops and NBA draft for an hour. I mean, what else can we ask for?
I'm getting to the point every Thursday where I'm literally like, all right, I'm done with my job. Like, I'm kicking stuff around the place. I'm like, let's go. I want to talk hoops with Metcalf. So I'm excited. We got another good one. I feel like you're going to be pumped up for this one. I'm excited to talk about a couple of prospects on the slate, but yeah, hit the folks with what's going on. What's on tap?
Yeah. So before we get into the episode, you know, just a little housekeeping news. You and I have kind of hinted at it the last couple of weeks, but very soon listeners will start hearing ads on this podcast every day because we have partnered with the Blue Wire Podcast Network, and we're really excited about this opportunity. There's just a great set of people over there that we're partnering with, and this opportunity for us really wouldn't be possible without all of you who have listened and supported us so quickly and so fervently. And it means the absolute world to us, and the fact that we're being able to partner with Blue Wire just means we're going to be able to keep bringing you guys really creative and really different content and do more of it in both video, audio, written, all of those mediums. We're going to be able to keep doing this at a higher, more consistent level because all of you. So thank you very much to all of you listeners. We adore you. If you're new, welcome. Stick around for a while. We like to have fun here. For those of you who have been around since day one, you're the best. We love you. Just really exciting stuff, and, you know, just very excited for what this means for all of us in the draft community going forward.
It's a remarkable first step for us. It's something that we've all been working really, really hard on behind the scenes. I know Metcalf and myself have been just, you know, praying to the basketball gods, like, okay, come on, this first step, let's go. And thank you to the Blue Wire folks. We talked to them and everyone that's been a part of this whole process. We're so pumped. Like, just talking to them, we're excited. I know everyone's smiling. Alex, the legendary, has been helping us too. You know, everyone's been working behind the scenes. We're taking this serious. We're pushing forward. This isn't going to be some blog thing that we're trying to get out of. This is for the long haul. So, big first step. Thank you to Blue Wire. Thank you to Metcalf. Thank you to Corey. Everyone at No Ceilings who's been, you know, battling behind the scenes. You know, just because we're not throwing stuff on social media doesn't mean we're not working. So I'm really, really pumped. And like Metcalf said, it's all because of you guys that have been supporting us since the beginning. And everyone that's here that's new, you know, welcome to the army. We're not going anywhere. We're only going up. We're only getting stronger. So really pumped about it. Thanks for everyone again.
Okay, enough of that. That was too savvy.
Yeah,
it's time to talk hoops. Yeah. So, you know, we're just going to talk about a couple guys, as you can see in the title, obviously, who have really been heating up recently and are really jumping up draft boards because of their play. And I think the first one that we kind of need to talk about, we talked about him a little bit last week when we did our peer review mock draft, and we both weirdly had him going to the Thunder in our mock draft at No Ceilings that we did as a group. He, spoiler alert, he's also going to the Thunder. Make sure to go check that out over at NoCeilingsNBA.com. It's 100% free, but burying the lead. That guy's Taylor Hendricks, 6'9 forward from UCF. Rucker, you've been kind of sending me some things behind the scenes that you're getting like scary high on him.
Yeah, it's a little, I'm even like shocked. I just keep looking at numbers. I keep watching film, and it's just one of those, I feel like this happens in every cycle where you get more of a slate of film size, like just more stuff to watch. And I'm a sucker for those guys that just keep showing up, just keep consistently producing. And I'm not saying you need to be putting up 25 a game, but if you just keep showing up in different areas and, you know, you have a tough night shooting, but you hit the boards, you made plays on defense, Hendricks just keeps impressing me. And every time I've watched him, like, I just can't get enough. And this is a weird class. And what I mean by that, there's a lot of really fun talent. I'm really excited about this class, but me and you have talked about this for a long time, Metcalf. It's like, we're kind of waiting for that one more guy to start cementing himself as kind of like a legit potential lottery pick. And I think Hendricks is just, he's moving up. He keeps moving up and people are watching him, and you know, 6'9" with good size. He makes plays on both sides of the floor. You could say he's got two-way versatility and he can shoot it. I just am intrigued, and that's where we're getting to this range where, I mean, even on my board, I'm looking at Hendricks. I moved him up to 16 on my personal big board, and I'm looking up and I'm like, he could keep going up. Like, well, this isn't out of the question. Some team's going to fall in love with this. So, yeah, I'm just a big fan. What about you?
Yeah, so early in the season, it kind of seemed like he was one of the darlings of draft Twitter, and for good reason, because he was shooting the shit out of the ball. He's 6'9", blocking a ton of shots. He has a block rate of 6, which is wild. And early in the season, I just was inherently a little skeptical because, you know, heaven forbid social media unnecessarily blow someone up. So, you know, I took it with a grain of salt. I was like, okay, he's freshman off to a hot start. Let's see how this looks 3 months from now. We're 3 months later, maybe four now. And it's all held up, if not improved. And he's taken steps at improvement across the board while still producing at a really high level. So it's at this point, it's like, how do you not buy into what he's doing at that size, that athleticism, that shooting ability, that rim protection, everything that he does, he's done all season long. So just looking at some of his percentile rankings on Synergy.
Oh yeah. Hit me with this, Metcalf. I'm excited to hear this.
He's in the 82nd percentile in spot up shooting, 95th percentile in transition, 82nd in post up. The isolation stuff isn't as good, but we'll get to that in a second. Mm-hmm. 73rd percentile in all field goal attempts, 76th percentile in all jumpers, 74th off the catch, 97th with runners. He's just super efficient at scoring. And in that off-ball role, where that's something where that can translate really quickly for a lot of these guys because they're not being asked to do too much. They're not being asked to really dissect defenses or break down NBA veterans off the dribble, because he can't do that stuff right now. But what he can do is shoot the shit out of the ball at 6'9" and protect the rim at the other end while continuously showing some defensive versatility. So it's just one of these, you know, I hate to throw the cliche 3-and-D label on him, but he's kind of fitting into that archetype of one of these guys who can kind of fit into a role at such a young age really quickly.
He's a fascinating prospect because the more I watch of him, it's almost like it's vanillaed. Like him on offense is like he doesn't have all this fanciness where he just will take what you give him. Like, he's like, okay, wide open, catch and shoot three. I'll take that. You throw him the ball in the post, he'll just turn around and shoot a little jumper. Like, it. And then he also has times where he'll go and throw down some anger around the basket. And I love that. But I just feel like this is the guy that a lot of teams might look at Taylor Hendricks and be like, this is the missing piece. We're rebuilding. We're right there. We're close. This might be the missing guy that just really makes everything gel together. I mean, yeah, spoiler alert for everyone that listening to this, if you haven't gone to NoCeilingsNBA.com, you're missing our updated mock draft tomorrow, and we have him going to the Thunder. I still absolutely love that fit. I think that's fantastic. I mean, we had our war room, and I think we were hammering. Me and Metcalf were like, the Thunder, and people were like, yeah, we love that fit. And me and Metcalf smirked and like, yeah, if you guys listened to the podcast, you would have understood this. But like, I'm looking at Tankathon right now, Metcalf, and like that range, you could sell me on a lot of teams taking him, and like Golden State, I could see Golden State doing it. Utah, like, he just seems like a guy that every team's in front office is going to be very intrigued with. So I don't know. I just, the more I watch, the more I'm very, very impressed with. And I know there's a lot of GG Jackson truthers out there. I think Taylor Hendricks is creeping that area, you know, and GG's offensive upside's scary, but Taylor is efficient, and there looks like there's a lot of stuff waiting to be unlocked. And I'm not saying one's better than the other. I'm not there yet. Can we please ask me that question in April? Thank you.
Okay. So what are some of the things for you that are holding him back from really jumping into that solidified lottery range?
You know, I just, that's the question I keep coming back to. I'm like, why am I not bringing him into this conversation of the top 10? And it's like, I like a lot of guys in the top 10. The Thompson twins, I love them. Keontae, love them. Jairus, you know, the prodigal son. Jed Howard, love him. Like Nick Smith. Then are you enter a conversation where you're like, well, could someone say like, hey, I don't know about Nick Smith. If he has these injuries, could Hendricks get up there? It's just a weird range in the draft when you get past like the 7 range where it's like, hey, if you really are like Whitmore, I love Whitmore. There's still a lot of questions about Whitmore. So there could just be a team that's like, hey, we've, you know, like New Orleans. What if New Orleans was just like, hey, we love Taylor Hendricks. Like, I absolutely love him. I don't know. He's becoming this mystery man. And it's for all the right reasons. And I don't know, like everyone would be like, oh, yeah, he just needs to go on a strong stretch. That's something I would say. I don't really know if I need Taylor Hendricks to go, you know, average 25 a game or try to do that. I think just showcasing what he can do on a nightly basis. I mean, he has games, 12 rebounds, 10 rebounds, 11 rebounds. And then he has games with 3-4 blocks. He had a 3-game stretch of having 3-3-4 blocks. He just had a 7-game stretch of averaging 16 points a game, 7.4 rebounds, 1.1 steals, 2.0 blocks, shooting splits of 51, 41, 75. So I'm getting to the point right now where I'm like, what else do I need to ask this kid to do to just be a lottery pick? So I don't know. There's my long wraparound. Hit me with it, Metcalf. What do you think?
Yeah, so I currently have him at 21, but like you said, he's kind of in that range of 12 to 22, where it's like, would any of these, if any of these guys kind of went in that 10 spot range, it wouldn't really shock me. Some of my hesitations with him are, I think he's really limited on ball. I think his on ball, you know, shot, his self creation, and on ball creation is really lacking. And he has an assist rate of under 10. Not ideal. His isolation, he's in the 19th percentile in points per possession. Not great. That kind of ability to create his own stuff and create for others, I'm not sure how much he really elevates the offense in that term. But if we're just looking at him as, okay, he's just an off-ball scorer, just an offensive rebounder, and just a versatile defender, those are three really important things when it comes to, you know, lineup construction and winning basketball. So for me, it's kind of weighing how much does this lack of on-ball creation really matter, because when we look at drafts, there are what, five guys from each draft tops who really get those responsibilities. So does it really matter if he can't do that right now? And who's to say he doesn't grow into some of that? But it's kind of, for me right now, it's figuring out how important is that? Because obviously you want, everyone needs to be able to create something off the dribble, whether it's just attacking a closeout or being able to carry it in transition instead of just finishing transition. You got to do something, being able to put the ball on the floor. And I haven't seen that a ton from Hendricks yet, but I'm still trying to figure out, is that actually important for him?
It's that's the biggest area, I think, when I watched because I did his midterms, I broke down like all of his stuff, and I was watching him offensively, and I'm like, that's why I was trying to say it's very vanilla. There's not a lot of him trying to go crazy to, you know, use his counters and attack and make the defense react. It's very just take what the defense is giving you.
Yeah.
And the funniest thing was, as you're talking earlier, I was like looking up and I was like, why do I have a weird vibe that Taylor Hendricks and Jabari might have similar like numbers when it comes to like 3-point shot? Cause like a lot of his films, 3-point shooting, like a lot of it's, and it's not, it's good decisions. He's just saying it, but you compare the stats, they're kind of in the same wheelhouse together. And it's a little like, okay, well, so that could be a similar storyline that we're talking about. I mean, Jabari, I still think he's got so much damn upside. I think is exactly the year I was expecting him to have the growing pains. Everyone was going to be like, I think Rockets fans were freaking out. And I was like, hey guys, can we calm down? Like, let's let the kid, he's going to be fine. But Jabari at Auburn was 16.9 points, 7.4 rebounds, 2 assists, 1.1 steal, 1.1 block, or 1.0 blocks, 42.9 from the field, 42% from 3, 79% from the free throw line. And Taylor Hendricks right now is at almost 15-7 with 2 blocks a game, or 1.8 blocks a game, shooting splits 48-39-79. So, I mean, when you look also at like the 2-point attempts and the 3-point attempts, they're kind of in the same wheelhouse. And that's what everyone's fear was last year, was Jabari was just heavy on the 3-point attempts. But I'm not, you know, really that worried with either of them. But when it comes to Taylor, he's taking exactly what the defense has given him. It's not him pulling up from 15 feet beyond the arc, which Jabari, I still can't believe last year. But anyways, I'm getting off track. But yeah, no, I really, really like him. Metcalf, it's one of those things where we're entering a territory now this year where, say, a guy's creeping up towards the lottery, all it takes is him going to workouts and impressing, and they get in a dangerous conversation. Like Patrick Williams, Florida State, like got up there. We were all like, oh, he's a lock to go to Detroit. And then Chicago was like, bet. And they took him for it. So you never know. This is a weird time of the year. All it takes is good intel and hard worker, and you're producing at UCF and you keep playing and posting numbers against tough competition, scouts are going to take notice.
So I think a really interesting comparison with him come draft time, or, you know, even just for the rest of the season, is going to be a guy like Max Lewis, who,
yes,
you know, the shooting numbers for Lewis have tailed off some, but I think a lot of that is due to him trying a lot of really advanced stuff off the ball and really diversifying and increasing the difficulty of his shot attempts. It's hurting his numbers in the short term, but I think long term it's going to be really good for his development and his game. When we look at Hendricks, we don't see him doing any of that stuff. I mean, 30.5% of his possessions are spot up shots, and that's the first for him by 16%, the next closest is transition. So Hendricks isn't doing any of that kind of stuff. Would you rather have him start experimenting with some of that stuff to show off, or kind of start to find a little bit of comfort level in that? Or do you think he's just better off just, hey, just do what you do, keep trying to win these games for UCF and figure it out in the offseason?
Gosh, that's such a fantastic question. I was literally, this is why I love you, because I was literally like, when you were starting bringing that up, I was like, well, Metcalf, what would you prefer that you just throw right at me? It's a really good question, especially if you're an evaluator, like to debate this, if you're making a big board and you're going off of these guys. I think Hendricks should keep doing exactly what he's doing. And it's not me doubting his upside. It's just, that's why, like, we projected him to go to OKC. Cause I think Hendricks being exactly what he is right now with the Thunder, with Shea, with Giddy. I always freak out that I say Shea's name wrong. So I'm sorry. I just have like a mental block, but you get Chet in there. They have all these assets together. You can allow Hendricks to just keep doing what he do. Like, hey, you get wide open shots, take them. Don't get out of your comfort zone right away. And I think he's going to be a really, really interesting piece in this class because he's one of those guys. Some teams might think it's, or some fans might think it's a reach, but teams might, this is the double. You're not swinging for the fences when you get Hendricks. You're like, no, we need this. This is the next step. This helps us move forward. I don't know. What about you? What would you lean more towards the, you love to see Maxwell Lewis? Cause that's also a big part of developing is, you know, you're willing to try this stuff. You're willing to be like, hey, okay, let me experiment. Let me work. I'm working on my game. Let me try this. So what would you prefer?
I'm selfishly, from an evaluation standpoint, I'd like to see him start trying to do some of that stuff. And is it like a, okay, you're just not sharp and comfortable with it yet? Or is it like, oh, fuck, like you can't dribble at all?
Right.
I don't think is the case. But, you know, from a coaching perspective, it's like, why are we going to try and upset the apple cart here? Like, if it's not broke, we're not fixing it. So, and he's thriving in his role, and the fact that he's doing that has gotten him into this first round, even lottery conversation for a lot of people. So to deviate from that at this point feels unnecessary. And it's like almost just, hey, keep thriving at what you're doing best. You've shown off that you have two elite skills in weak side rim protection and off ball shooting. Just keep doing that. Keep being the best in your role. And then once you get into the NBA in the offseason, then you can start working with developmental coaches and bring those skills along steadily instead of trying to force it and, you know, unnecessarily accelerate your developmental curve.
And system, you know, everyone has to remember this too. Like, the situation and system for that team also plays a big role in this, because, you know, it's not like we're talking about Jairus Walker at Houston, who started out a little slow to start out the year, and then they finally allowed him to be more of what he could do with playmaking and stuff. Like, that's different. When with Hendricks, he's thriving in this role. It's not like they're all of a sudden gonna be like, okay, now this week we're gonna start giving Taylor the ball to run the offense, like bring it up and dribble. Like, no, you know, we're not gonna put him in pick and rolls. It's just a different situation. So I think you just keep doing what you're doing, big fella. You're doing the right thing. You're getting the attention of plenty of people. The buzz is piling up. So I would just keep rolling with that momentum. I love that we spent like 20 minutes on Taylor Hendricks. This is fantastic. Thunder fans, I knew you all would be here. So Thunder up.
All right. Well, let's move on to Kobe Bufkin. But first,
let's do it. I know you want to do it so bad. Let's get that. I'm more pumped to talk about Kobe Bufkin than you are. Talk to me, Metcalf. Let's go.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, and we're back. So I adore this kid. Kobe Bufkin is so stinking good, and it's really refreshing to see some people start to come around on him. Obviously, I'm not the only one who's been hyping him up all year, but the leaps this guy has taken from his freshman year last year to this year have been astounding and something I did not expect at all. He looks bigger. He looks stronger. The shooting has improved. He has some of the best defensive hands in the country. I love his on-ball defense. The scoring versatility that he's shown this year compared to last year, it's an extreme jump from in his development and effectiveness. I love everything I'm seeing from him, and I feel very, very okay having him in my top 25.
I screwed up my big board submission for No Ceilings. If everyone's listening, go to NoCeilingsNBA.com. We just submitted our updated big board. The big board I loved. I thought this round looked pretty good. But you know, I'm also the jerk that juices people up. So for everyone listening, like, we had some people that are like, why aren't you guys believing in uncertain? I was like, this isn't individual rankings. We composite the rankings. We average them out. It's a lot of math stuff, you know. Shout out Goodwill Hunting. They had to basically solve this equation on the board. Terrible jokes aside, I had Kobe at 33 on my personal big board, and I just rewatched his film a little bit deeper, and I was like, what am I thinking? I was like, this is a first-round pick. There's no questions about it. What am I doing? The numbers back it up. This is the whole episode. This is heating up. These guys are heating up. Kobe Bufkin, someone was like, do you think he's going back next year? No, he's gone. Gone. He is playing his final games with the Michigan Wolverines. I just think he's got too much momentum. Unless he goes out and, you know, shoots 12% from three for the rest of the year, I just think I've seen too much on tape, and I'm really excited to now talk to you about him, because this is another guy. The more I'm watching right now, I'm like, oh boy, here we go. Like, this is your riser, folks. So if you haven't gotten into deep Kobe Bufkin tape, enjoy your Friday.
It's lovely place.
Oh, it's a fun place. It's like Alice in Wonderland status. Like, go down that rabbit hole and enjoy it. Just finish this episode and get a large pizza, whatever your favorite meal is. And Friday night, you turn on some Kobe Bufkin film. You're going to have a good time.
Yeah. So just to run through some of his synergy numbers, just real quick. So pick and roll ball handler, 65th percentile, transition, 85th percentile, off screen, 78th percentile, handoff, 74th percentile. The scoring versatility that he's displayed this year has been really encouraging. The outside shooting numbers, primarily off the dribble, still aren't right where you want them to be. They're still a little inconsistent. But when you look at the shooting numbers from last year to this year, the shot difficulty from last year to this year, it's two completely different players, where now he's using hang dribbles and crossovers and step backs. His change of pace dribbling in the mid-range to get to his spots is really, really creative and advanced for, in this 1 year time frame. And he does just such a good job of getting defenders to turn their hips because of how good of a driver he is before slamming on the brakes and hitting them with the step back and knocking it down regularly. The scoring leaps he's taken, I know I sound like a broken record right now, but it is astounding how quickly he's improved in this area. I may need to have some cold water thrown on me, because every year I fall in love with these kind of gadgety, toolsy combo guards. They don't always work out. Is this another case of that? Or is what he's showing really just a malleable skill set that will fit in the NBA?
No, you don't need to cool down. If anything, we need to turn up the heat, because this is the thing is yes, you can swing and strike out on those players, but those players, if you connect on those swings, just shift your whole team, because like you say, they're gadget guys. Where like, if all of a sudden, you know, Kobe Bufkin was averaging 3 points a game last year in 10 minutes. And now he's just filling it up. He looks fantastic. He rebounds. He's got good size. I've liked some of his playmaking flashes. I've liked the feel. And you were not fucking kidding, excuse my French, about his hands defensively.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, this is the type of guy that you just get, and it's like, man, every NBA team goes, man, I really wish we had a Kobe Bufkin on our team. Like, it's just one of those things where it's such a unique guy to get. And I think that's where teams have to be aggressive to go find these guys, because it shifts everything. It takes a lottery team out of the lottery. It takes a playoff bubble team into the next level. It's just, I love him, Metcalf. I have to give you your flowers. You were on that earlier in the year. You were hammering that to me. You're like, I think this could be the Dalen Terry. And I was like, Metcalf, it's literally like December. Can we calm down?
Never.
And hey, man, you're when you know, you know. Yeah, I love it. So I don't know. Michigan's weird, because I still think after this whole year, they could have a little bit of a conference tourney run, and then we're entering a weird story and scenario if we get Kobe Bufkin on the big dance. So I don't know. I'm trying to look at my board and I'm like, where could he, what's too high? Like, where could he stop? Because he's, a lot of people are putting him in the first round. I was a wimp. I had him 33rd on my board. I should have had him in the top 30 for sure. I don't know.
So let's stick with the defense a little bit, because
yeah.
As just like a point of attack defender in isolation, I think he does just some terrifying shit. And the hands are lightning quick, and he desperately wants that ball. I think he moves his feet really well.
Mm-hmm.
Something I've noticed is that when defending the pick and roll, he's starting to get a little jumpy with kind of jab steps and maybe anticipating the screen a little too early. That could be just a fundamental thing that he gains, improves with experience. I'm kind of thinking it's just he doesn't trust the rest of that team to defend, because no one else on that team can defend right now. And he's just trying to compensate for that. So when we talk about his defense, what gets you the most excited about it? What makes it feel like, okay, this is an NBA level defender? And do you have any kind of worries or concerns or hesitations about it going forward?
There's guys that can have quick hands that, you know, strike like a cobra, and I feel like it's quick jolts of like you're just trying to get in there. And then guys can do that, and I know this is gonna sound crazy, guys can do that and look like they just are going at a different speed, where it's just like they know exactly when to go, and it's, you know, it's almost as if they're getting the middle of the ball every time, where it's just like, yeah, I know. You have good vision and anticipation. You know, guys like Marcus Smart, even Patrick Beverley, and Bufkin shows that to me on tape, where it's just kind of like he knows he's baiting you, and he just waits and he waits and sees that window open. I'm right there with you. I think the footwork with pick and roll can get a little bit, I don't know if I would say it's like trying to cut corners, but I think he's just trying to almost prevent, like you say, if you're playing with some teammates that struggle defensively, you might be trying to kind of manage the space. And I wanted to ask you, I was watching him off the ball,
mm-hmm.
and I actually was like pretty excited.
I feel,
yeah. And it was mainly him working through screens and stuff. I feel like he's got good angles and navigation to, like, there's a couple times he got caught up, but I was also like, that was a beautifully run play. Nothing you could have done there. Like, it's just a great sequence by that team. And there's also some other times I was like, he is all over the place. Like, he's stride for stride. He's reading every angle the right way. And there's just a lot of good stuff that I feel like you get to the next level and you all of a sudden get a developmental staff that's in some veterans that are helping you get some little tricks and stuff. All of a sudden that good defender in college becomes a great defender at the next level. So I don't know. I love everything I saw from him on the defensive side of the ball. I think there's a lot of really good stuff to work with. And there's also some good like teaching skills that I'm sure an NBA team are going to be like, oh no, yeah, we'll tune that up in a hurry. Like, he's just, it's a film room sesh with some vets. Like, hey, do this. So I don't know.
Okay. Let's play a quick little game of, it's America's favorite game show of this or that.
We're going to have to make this a segment. Shout out Blue Wire. But I literally am rambling so much tonight. Love you, Matt Captain. I'm really excited about this one.
Okay. So, you know, so some of these early ones are going to be a little outrageous, just trying to gauge the range here.
Okay.
So Kobe Bufkin or Hood Schifino?
Hood Schifino.
Yeah, agreed.
I'm a JSH fan club member.
Kobe Bufkin or Jordan Hawkins?
Oh, don't even. Jordan. I love Jordan. Agreed. I think I might be. Yeah. I got Jordan at 17, folks.
Oh, same. Stop stealing my board. God,
it's like we do a podcast together. You really have him at 17?
Exactly at 17.
Do you remember there was a time of the year I couldn't get you to buy Jordan Hawkins stock?
No, I just hadn't watched him yet.
that actually checks out.
Kobe or Colby Jones?
Oh, you really are. Colby.
Bufkin or Hendricks?
Oh, I got Hendricks. Hendricks is storming.
Bufkin or Sasser?
Now you're getting into a dangerous world. Well, I had Sasser at 31. I did not realize how good he's been playing. I mean, last
8 games, he's been shooting the shit out of the ball. It's like, oh, there you are, Marcus.
We'll Marcus. It's literally the scene from The Shining, like with the axe. It's Marcus Sasser coming through the door. Here's Marcus. I'm going to stay with Sasser, but it's really close. No, okay. I love Sasser. I think Sasser's starting to get the mojo back of what we've been wanting. So I'm going to say Sasser.
Perfect time of the year for it.
Yep. Yes,
Bufkin or Sensabaugh?
Oh, I want to piss the people off. Oh, boy. I'll go Sensabaugh.
Oof.
I'll tell you right now, Kobe Bufkin's coming for that stock, though.
Bufkin or Jalen Wilson?
Oh, this one's ugly. My problem is I'm still at Jalen Wilson as a first-round guy. I love Jalen Wilson. Why does everyone not like him? Who did he hurt? Like, whose feelings did he hurt? I like Jalen Wilson. I had him at 25.
Okay, last one, Bufkin or Mike Miles?
How dare you? How dare you? That's a really good one. I have Mike Miles in my first round, so I'm going to say Mike Miles for now. But I'm telling you right now, all those names you just – if Bufkin keeps going up and we have this conversation in a month, my answers might be different for a lot of those guys. What about you? Who out of those names you listed, who do you have Bufkin above?
I have him over Sensabaugh, Sasser, Jalen Wilson.
Where do you have Sensabaugh?
24. It's one spot. They're back to back.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I have Bufkin at 23. So
you had Sensabaugh at 24?
Yeah.
I have him at 23. Who are you? Where do you have Mike Miles? We're off the rails now, folks.
35. So just outside the first, but in that kind of group of like 10 names where it's like, okay. I'm fine with taking him in the first.
Okay. I already have, I would update my board right now and move Bufkin into the first round.
Over who?
This is my problem.
You accountable. You say no, you're going to do something.
I would put him, I had Deron Holmes at 29. I feel like Deron Holmes is just going to keep being the guy that I just keep moving down for somebody else. But then I had Sasser at 31. So, see, now I'm screwed up. I don't know. All right, fine. I'll do it. Bufkin over Sasser.
I don't care.
I hate this.
Okay. Well, someone that I know you certainly do not hate is Trace Jackson Davis.
TJD, baby. I was going to make so many memes today about, like, we're finally talking about him, Metcalf, but I just couldn't do it.
So after a year plus of harassment from you, we're finally talking about Trace. Wax poetic.
It really is funny, but for everyone that hasn't been in on this joke, last year, the first year we were, getting no ceilings going. I basically, every time TJD had a good game, I would just tag Metcalf in the highlights.
So much
and Metcalf fun. Would be like, would you please stop? And it was more of a thing because I was like, I just like TJD as a second round guy, and Metcalf wasn't really buying it. And that conversation has completely shifted in myself now. I'm struggling right now because I watched his film again before We did this podcast episode, and I'm Metcalf. What? Why is he not a first round pick? I know the shot, but I think he's doing too much. He's doing everything. He's scoring. He's rebounding. He's playing defense. He's shot block. He's blocking shots. He's passing. His playmaking's been awesome this year. So, is it enough that we're overthinking the lack of a jump shot?
Yes, but I think it makes the team fit. It narrows the team fit.
Yes, it's like going to a gosh, I can't believe I'm going to try to make an analogy after, you know, the lack of sleep I have.
This will surely be golden.
This will be good. It's like going, it's like, hey, you have this certain amount of money and you have to go get a brand new car. It's like you can't afford everything. Like you go to a car dealership with like 10 grand. Chances are you're not going to really have a lot of luck to pay full cash for a car. That analogy was terrible. Just terrible. I tried to throw it out. This is brought to you by... We were with Blue Wire. I don't know, Metcalf. It is very fit dependent. The draft is always fit dependent.
Mm-hmm.
But TJD, it will not shock me if he goes 22. If some team is like, we really need this guy to impact the game everywhere we want him to. We don't need him to shoot 18 footers. I've just been shocked about. You know, obviously you're a senior, you're supposed to dominate, but he's crazy dominant. And the footwork's been really impressing me this year. He looks like he's got that spin dribble even working a little bit more this year. He was kind of manhandling your boy, Hunter.
Well, he's one of many who have done that this year.
Like, I didn't want to go down a dark path. I don't know. I don't know what else he needs to do. I think this guy's proving right now that he has a spot in the league and he's going to play for a good time.
Yeah. So I was never out when.
No,
And he, for the last 2 years, he was like, 55 to 75 range of, draft picks. Because when you're, what is he, like 6'9"?
6'9", about like 240, I want to say off the top of my head.
When you're that size and you can't shoot at all, you have to be able to do so many other things.
Right.
And at that point, he hadn't proven that he could consistently do that besides just being a freak leaper. And he has really improved his game year over year without really changing how he plays, which I think is really interesting because he's still not shooting. He knows everyone wants him to shoot because in every preseason, he's like, oh, yeah, I've been working on my shot. Really, Trace? Because we haven't seen one single fucking jumper from you all goddamn year. It's fine. We're good. What he has done is he's improved his footwork. His spins in the post are incredible. His footwork in transition and navigating traffic in the lane is incredible. His touch on the floater is really good. His leaping ability is outlandish. And then his passing has taken significant leaps. We saw flashes of it, but now it's on a nightly basis where we're seeing him make these awesome skip passes out of drives or out to beat the double team or hit aheads in transition. There, he's seen the floor at a whole nother level. And now when you pair all of that together, it's like, okay, a lot of this is compensating for the lack of a jumper, and it never completely makes up for it. And that'll really be a big hole in his game if he never shows any willingness to, take a face-up jumper from any distance. But it makes his ability to contribute to an offense a lot easier and a lot more realistic. Then defensively, the shot blocking is insane. I mean, he gets off the ground so freaking quick. He moves his feet to stay with guys on drives. His rotations are really good. I have some current concerns about him kind of defending the pick and roll and defending in space. There's some inconsistencies there, but just the pure rim protection is they're numbers that are for someone who should be 3 to 4 inches taller than he is.
I think the biggest thing you pointed out there and what really jumps out to me on tape is he glides through the lane at his size. Like he really, He can get moving in a hurry. He can slice down the center of the court. They throw him alley oops all the time, and this dude throws. He gets some of the worst passes sometimes, and he just like reaches back, doesn't even awesome have hands. To. It's just pillows for hands. I keep watching him, and he just keeps checking boxes, and the playmaking stride he's taken this year, in a weird way, is like almost just as awesome as if he was shooting, you know, 30% from three. Like it's just. It's another weapon now, and it's really good. It's really impressive. You know, he'll throw bullets to corners. He finds guys all over the place, and I don't know. I just – this is a wild card, and I loved him last year. I still had him as, like, a guy that was probably going to go in the 40s. Now I'm like, hey, I think I had him at 32 on my last big board. And I was just staring at him. I was like, what else does this guy need to do to get into my first round? And I know I'm probably going to be a lot higher, but like, this is, if I had a second round pick, I would be throwing it at TJD sure if I needed front court depth, because he just does too much stuff. And you're spot on. The shot blocking has been absurd. He's had games with like 7 blocks this year. Like it's just crazy. So he's becoming territory of, like, you go check out TJD's box score every night to see how much you're laughing, you know? So, I don't know. I love him, and I think that's another guy that's just going to keep creeping up.
Yeah, well, someone else who kind of keeps creeping up is Azulis Tubelis from Arizona. I know he has some big fans at No Ceilings. I'm a little more hesitant. You're the Arizona guy, so pitch me on Tubelis.
Yeah, I mean, when you said you wanted to talk about Tubelis, I was like, yeah, this is pretty much the best person you could talk to. No offense to No Ceilings crew, but, you know, I'm a U of A former alumni, so I've always watched the Cats. And Tubelis is going to be really interesting, and I thought he was going to be a name that could get hot this year, coming into this cycle when he decided to return. I was like, okay, he had the tough tournament run last year. He really struggled in that, I think the game against TCU. I was like, oh gosh, he's having one of the nightmare games where you can't do anything right. So I was like, I think Tubelis is gonna have a big junior year, and he's been great. He's been outstanding. He averaged 13 points last year. He's up to 20.2 points this year, 9.3 rebounds. His numbers have exploded. They were going to. It was going to be the Tubelis show for U of A this year. He's such a dominant force. Like, he's just a bucket because he just plays with good touch. He's got some veteran swagger. He knows how to score with both hands around the basket. Very crafty. The shot is fine. I think it needs like a really strong offseason of just with a shooting coach just hammering it. Because he's also smart enough where he's like, I'm not going to force this. This isn't my game. But like, if you're playing him 8 feet off, he's like, oh, I'll shoot it. Like, it's just one of those things. And I don't know. He's so interesting to me because there's a lot of, I actually loved where we mocked him in our mock draft, so everyone will see that when they're listening to this. But there's a lot of fun skills. But I think it's a really fun depth piece. Like, if you could get Tubelis to be your rotation big or forward off the bench, I'd really, really like that. But I don't know if I'm seeing like people putting him in the first round, if there is anyone doing that. I don't know. He's really weird. I always get nervous with these guys because I'm like, are you a dominant college player that's going to struggle at the next level? And it wouldn't shock me if Tubelis just goes and is a damn good pro. Mm-hmm. It would not shock me if he goes and struggles. Yeah. But he's very skilled with both hands. And I don't want to sound like I love him. Like, as a U of A fan, absolutely love Tubelis. Like, I will literally, like, be like, no, Tubelis is one of the best college bigs right now in the country. But there's a difference between playing elite at college and playing with the big boys at the next level. So, I don't know.
Yeah, so I just want to run through his numbers quick because they are really impressive. So I just looked up and, you know, he's 39% from three this year, which made my jaw drop because I'm like, I swear to God, I haven't seen him make more than four threes all season. But, he's only taken 23 of them. So, yeah. You know, another bad night and that's dropping below 30. So I'm not, you know, previous 2 years, 31% on 42 attempts, 26% on 38 attempts, a career 71% free throw shooter. I think the shot's okay, but there's some real touch work or touch issues that I have with it. But his percentile rankings on offense are really impressive. I mean, 85th percentile in post-ups, 89th percentile in transition, 67th percentile on cuts, 74th percentile on offensive rebounds, 96th percentile in spotting up. The big glaring one to me is 19th percentile as the role man. I'm just not sure how his game, something you said was, is he an NBA pro or is he just an awesome college player? I'm kind of leaning towards the latter. Unfortunately, I think running in transition, he might be one of the best bigs in the country at doing that. His ability to kind of grab and go, to beat everyone else down the floor, I think is really impressive. I think he's had some issues consistently finishing through contact this year. The game where he had 40, I'm blanking on who they played, but he was scoring everything. Was that Washington? I think it was Washington.
Yeah.
In that awful zone.
Yeah.
But then, you know, there's two games before that, he couldn't make anything. That may have been the UCLA game. So the lack of a shot, I'm not sure. I have some questions with the defense. The motor, the post-up skills, the interior scoring, I think is all really, really high-level stuff. It's just, how does that translate to the NBA?
Oregon. He had 40 against Oregon. That's he had 25. Like, if you go look at Tabellus's box scores, you're going to be like, what the heck are we talking about? Because he's just been on the warpath this year, but I'm right there with you. And I don't, like, all of the synergy numbers look unbelievable. Like, everything is trying to tell us, like, this is going to work. But there really is an important factor of, like, when you're evaluating, you have to watch a guy and be like, is this a very good college player? Or is this a guy that's going to lurk at the next level? Tabellus could work at the next level. I'm not saying he couldn't. It's just got to be the right place. And, of course, everyone listening is like, of course, Rucker. No, he needs to go somewhere that's, like, play your game. Off the bench, like in a rotation, be surrounded by offensive guys that make Tabellus's life easier. And then he could be a dangerous guy around the basket with his touch. But like, he had a 7-game stretch of averaging 22 and 11 while shooting 59% from the field. Like, he'll put up some numbers this year, but you know, he's also having games with 20 field goal attempts, which is not going to happen at the next level. Like,
right.
And he does a lot of damage around the basket, and they play a lot of high-low with him and Ballo. So, I mean, it's, you're not really seeing a lot of NBA guys just having a strong desire to play high-low for 48 minutes. I'm just saying, he would be a really nice – he'd be a really, really nice bench asset. That's why I'm like, I have him in the second round. I love Tabellus. If he went to the right team, that he can just be that rotation piece, be that seventh or eighth guy. Now you're finding something. Like, for everyone listening, we had him going to the Sacramento Kings, and we were all talking in the war room. And we were like, that's a fun backup for Sabonis, is Tabellus. Like, Spider-Man meme, but not really. So, I don't know. That's all I'm thinking. It's just, it would be a fun skill set if you have a right plan for him when it comes to your offense.
Yeah. And so when I say I'm hesitant to buy in, it's not that I don't think he's skilled or that there isn't a spot for him in the NBA. I just think those spots are so few and far between where, you know, when you kind of think of guys of his mold, you know, it's like a Sandro Mamukulashvili in Milwaukee. Like, he gets spot minutes here and there. Orlando Robinson type role in Miami. You know, maybe if things really go well, I think the defense and rim protection have to take a leap for this type of role, but maybe down the line, like an Isaiah Hartenstein type role when he was with the Clippers as that backup big who could do a little bit of playmaking from the elbow and top of the arc type stuff. So many things have to go right. Roster construction has to fall a really certain way for it, and he has to be able to find himself in that very specific spot. So whether he ends up having an awesome career in Europe or is able to carve out a bench role in the NBA, I think he has the skill and the talent to do it. I'm just not sure that there are the requisite job openings for that specific skill set available to him.
I think he'll be an NBA guy. Or he'll at least get an extended look from multiple teams. I think Tabellis he's got too much skills that teams are going to be convinced they can work with them. He might be a guy that goes in the second round, spends a month in the G League, kicks everyone's ass, and then is on the roster. The one thing that could be working in his favor is this big man class. There's a lot of questions in that range, and a lot of people could look at Tabellis and be like, hey, we know what he is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he really is skilled. The guy can run the floor. He's got playmaking vision. I know his assist numbers aren't crazy high, but he's got playmaking vision. He's got touch. Plays hard. I don't know. We'll do this or that. Everyone's favorite game, this or that. All right, Metcalf, welcome to the stage. All right. I'm going to hit you with Kyle Filipowski or Tabellis.
Filipowski.
Okay, that was a tester. Khalil Ware or Tabellis?
Ware.
Boo. All right, I thought I might have had you there. Coleman Hawkins or Tabellis?
Tabellis.
Good. Very good. That's all I had. I just wanted to get your Coleman Hawkins intake. But I mean, we're just going to get to an interesting point in this draft where we just named some guys that I'm not sold teams are going to be all like foaming at the mouth to draft them. And I'm sorry, Oregon Ducks fans and Duke Blue Devil faithful, but I think Tabellis could also have the safer idea if you get to a second round and you're looking for some depth. So I don't know. That's all my thoughts.
All right. Well, Rucker, that's all I got. Anything else eating at you? Anything come to mind?
No, I mean, there's some guys that we could have mentioned. Who else do you think's rising that you need to watch a little bit more of?
Oh God. I need to catch up on the G League guys, Leonard Miller, CD Sissoko. Go check out the film session that Corey just did with CD. It was awesome stuff. Really cool that he took the time to do that. I think there's a lot more to his game than I'm giving him credit for. I'm going to keep banging this KJ Adams drum until he tells me that he's going back to Kansas next year. Yeah, what about you?
You were very passionate about that. And I feel like that was the easy one where I was like, yeah, I'm not going to fight you on that one. I love the KJ Adams in the second round. Koulibaly. We got a lot of people trying to attack us for him not being on our big board tomorrow. And I was like, hey guys, just one more day and open the next link. Just wait. You'll be pleased tomorrow. I don't know. Your boy Tyrese Proctor is making a little bit of a run. I'm trying to think of other climbers. Pods at Santa Clara is definitely making some fans.
I think Jordan Miller from Miami.
People are drinking that Kool-Aid kind right of now.
Really interesting. He looks like an NBA player, but just kind of one of those solid 3-and-D toolsy type wings, won't necessarily overwhelm you in one specific category, but it's just a solid ball player. So it wouldn't surprise me if he finds his way onto a summer league contract or even gets like an exhibit 10 or something.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I agree that we've had some cool stuff with the, if you haven't guys been paying attention, we've had some cool stuff with some of these prospects, players that have come on to No Ceilings. You know, a lot of stuff with Corey and Albert. Leonard Miller was just with Maxwell, did an interview, checked it out on the website. I just started diving back into Leonard Miller's film. I'm starting to buy. I was selling stock last year. I'm starting to buy back. There's a gadget guy. I think there's some stuff there. I've been impressed. So, I'm trying to think of who else. Buy your James Najee stock while you still can. Don't look at the numbers. That's all I got, Metcalf.
Well, Rucker, this was a delight. Please plug away.
Follow me at Tyler_Rucker on Twitter. When you're listening to this, we just posted a mock draft. It's a really good one. I liked it a lot. Go check it out. NoCeilingsNBA.com. Absolutely free. We love all of you. Thank you for following us and on the Substack. It's been growing fast. We love it. Also, I've been just working like crazy, and I'm proud to announce that the YouTube breakdowns of the big board and mock drafts are making a historic comeback. They will be up this weekend. I'm very, very proud of how they turned out. So hope everyone enjoys those. Go check them out if you want to see highlights of all of these guys. I'm doing a top 60 and highlights of every single person and my thoughts. So you get to hear my voice more and terrible jokes. Metcalf, as always, you're the best. Thanks for doing this. Kobe Bufkin rocks.
NoCeilingsNBA.com. Go check it out. 100% free. Just click that subscribe button while you're there. NoCeilingsNBA across all socials and NoCeilingsTV on YouTube. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to subscribe, leave a review, and 5-star rating. Till next time. See ya.